Welcome to Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman, the podcast for accomplished Black women ready to stop surviving and start thriving. I'm your host, Natasha Riley, licensed therapist and founder of Javer Integrative Wellness Services. This is where we move beyond talking about change to actually creating it. Every episode gives you practical tools to build a daily pleasure practice because you've already proven you can achieve anything. Now it's time to learn how to enjoy it. Ready to bridge the gap between knowing and doing? Let's dive in. Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. Thank you so much for being here. If you are an OG, welcome. Okay, we are on another episode for 2026. We're running through this thing. And if you are new here, hello, my name is Natasha. I am a licensed professional therapist, and I am the host of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. It is nice to meet you. I hope you stay. I hope you go back and listen to some old episodes because it's some goodness all up and through here, okay? All right. So today we're going to do our first guest episode of the year. And this is an episode that I thought would be good as we shift into February, which is, you know, Black History Month and Valentine's Day. And I always like to start making the shift into more self-love. So I included one of my friends in this. Most of the people that I interview are my friends. I don't think I've gotten to a place where I've interviewed people that I don't know yet, but that could soon change. Now, before I introduce you to my friend, I want to remind you that if you've gone through any of these episodes, if you've gotten to the action items and you're like, I just can't, like, I absolutely cannot remember. I am a therapist and I am not your therapist. However, if you are looking for a therapist, my team is open and ready to take you. If you are in the state of Georgia and you are looking for a therapist, head over to javerywellness.com/get-started. Go ahead and fill out the intake form and we will get you to the best therapist for you, because the days of trying to do all of this by yourself, we're not doing that. Not this year. And I have a fine team of women that not only have the credentials behind their name to support you, but they have the lived experience because my clinicians are all Black women. So baby, they understand. We understand. Okay. Now, let me introduce you to my wonderful friend, Laquelle Wright. Laquelle Wright is a boudoir. Yes. Yes, I said boudoir photographer and marketing professional based in Atlanta, Georgia. Originally from California, Laquelle built her photography business as a passion project alongside her corporate career in marketing and revenue operations. Specializing in boudoir and legacy portraiture, she creates transformative experiences for women, particularly those over 40, through her timeless experience sessions. Laquelle's work goes far beyond taking pictures. She's known for curating warm, inviting spaces where women feel safe to be seen, celebrated, and pampered, often for the first time since their wedding day. Her approach combines professional styling consultations, hair and makeup artistry, and expert posing that helps women see themselves the way she sees them, beautiful, worthy, and deserving of celebration. When she's not behind the camera, you'll find Laquelle tending to her garden, reading sci-fi fantasy novels in the tub, or spending time with her cats. As a fellow caregiver navigating the sandwich generation, she understands firsthand the importance of carving out moments of creative rest and pleasure, even in the busiest seasons of life. And I'm going to highly recommend that you connect with Laquelle to learn more about her boudoir and legacy portraiture sessions, because I did one myself. Yes, the actual cover of this podcast is a picture that Laquelle took for me, and she made me feel so wonderful. We talk a little bit about my experience in this episode, but just go ahead over there, okay? Chat with her. This is something that you could do for yourself or for a partner going into this season of love. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. All of her information will be in the show notes. Enjoy. So welcome to the podcast, Laquelle. This is something that we have been trying to plan for a while.
Yes. And it's finally, like, life keeps getting in the way.
Right. Life has finally allowed us to come together and have this conversation. So thank you for coming to talk about all things boudoir. And my first question, how did we get here? Right? Like, how did you get to a place? Because I know that you do some other things that have nothing to do.
Oh, yeah.
Completely different.
Have nothing related to it whatsoever.
So how did you become this wonderful business doing boudoir shoots?
So I'm originally from California. Well, I'm technically originally was there forever. And I was doing photography there. So I started up my photography business as kind of a side thing out in California. And I was mainly doing like headshots, doing some models and things, but also boudoir. So I started to do boudoir a little bit too. And it was kind of on the side because like my professional career, I do marketing. So I'm a marketing director. Kind of switching into RevOps now, but that's my background, like marketing, demand gen, things like that. And so I was just doing this as a side hustle, and it was fun, and then all the ladies really enjoyed it. And so I started kind of building it up more and more out there. Had amazing clients who really wanted, either birthday gifts for themselves, anniversary gifts for their like significant someone. And so when I moved out here to Atlanta, at first, I was working my full-time roles and everything, and I'm like, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy the photography. I really enjoy having women perceive themselves in new ways. Lots of times, they don't have pictures taken of themselves, They're always the ones behind the camera. And so I started that out here and like just kind of built it up and built it up, mainly focusing on boudoir, but also doing like, legacy portraits, especially for some of the older ladies, right, who don't have any pictures of themselves. So that's kind of how it started. I just really enjoy like my main clients are women. So I primarily focus on women. I do photograph men as well. But women and boudoir is definitely my thing. And they love it. So it's really just encouraging and empowering for them.
So, what is it that you love about being on that side of the lens? Like, what made you say, this particular specialty is going to be the hobby that I choose?
I think it's the joy you see in women, like really seeing themselves in a new way that maybe they don't all the time. And I'm seeing their images like, oh, wow, I look good. Like, oh my God, I look amazing. And I'm like, yes, you do. Like, this is what I'm trying to show you, right? Because, like I said, most women don't take pictures of themselves. They might take little selfies or whatever, but for my studio, we do like a wardrobe consult. We look at their style, kind of what images they're interested in. If they're like looking for like sexy, or if they're interested in like classic, more like or they're more like a little bit more conservative, but still want to be kind of flirty and fun, right? And then, I have my makeup artist come get them all done up, and most of them have never been treated to like, having their makeup and hair done and everything. And so it's just basically a one-stop shop. And so having women just be really excited to have that experience and celebrating themselves, that was like, okay, I'm good. This is what I want to focus on,
So how do you explain this type of shoot to someone, right? Because from the outside looking in, they would think you just be taking pictures of naked people in lingerie and naked. So
I think
how
that
do
used to
you,
be more of what it was, right?
right?
All the sexy. And granted, you will find, and there's, okay, and I have to say, there's different kinds of boudoir photographers. Just like there's different kinds of wedding photographers, right? There's different styles that everybody has. There's different, like, things that people do. And there are ones who do primarily, like, the scantily clad, like their racy outfits. And I do that if people want that too. But I let them know this is based upon what makes them feel good and what they feel is empowering, whether it be like empowering to seeing themselves, empowering and sexy, or just something to celebrate themselves. Because not everybody necessarily wants the sexy shoots, right? Some do, and they're like, oh my God, this is what I want. And some of them like, you know what? I just want to feel good. I want to try something different. But they might be a little bit more on the conservative side. I'm like, I tailor this shoot to whatever it is that you are looking for, however you define or what makes you feel good, right? And so I tell them, like, some women do this, some women do this. And I usually create a vision board for them to kind of get a better sense of their style, what they're looking for, kind of what they want to try out. And usually I have women who they might want to do some of the sexy shots that are kind of typically seen as boudoir. And they want to do a little bit more formal, so maybe a dress or a gown, and like really kind of sometimes maybe like a film noir sort of thing, right? And we combine those kind of styles in the one shoot so they can figure out like what they like. So I usually tell them, you know what? I photograph however you like to be seen. The only thing I do not do is full on erotica, and there are definitely photographers who do that, which is all good. But I'm like, As long as we're doing whatever you want to do, as long as it makes you feel good. If you want to get naked and take pictures of the boobs, we can. That's cool. Or we can be more conservative. I've had some women who've gotten the boob jobs and they want to show them off at an
Right?
anniversary present for their significant other. I'm like, good for you. Okay, let's do it. It's all good. You know?
I love that. And I had the pleasure of being able to do a shoot with you, and it was just a great time. Like you, the eye that you have about the environment, which is very important, right? Because you want to walk in and you want to feel safe and you want to feel comfortable. And you just have an eye of how to make an environment, even your new space, like being able to come and play in your new space. It's just like, and now you got a newer space that I
I
gotta
got
come
newer new
play
space.
in.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So where do you get the eye to be able to curate such a warm and inviting space for these women first? Because the environment matters.
Yes. And that was one of my goals, is to have like currently my space is kind of it's a really old, almost like a warehouse building from like 1910, right? So I have the wood floors, I have the brick walls and everything. I have the light coming in. My main thing is just making it just a comfortable environment. I show women different kinds of pictures that they can do. But also in this process, we also talk beforehand, usually at least once, usually twice. So they get a sense of my personality. I see how they are, you know, and their personality. And we kind of curate things. So I think helping to build that relationship up front also helps them feel more comfortable and is inviting and everything as well. And then the space itself, which I'm still actually working on the new space, just making it comfortable, relaxing, inviting. It's a nice environment for somebody to be in, that they can be themselves, be relaxed. It's a very private environment. Nobody else is having the shoot when you're doing your shoot. It's all about that one client at that time. And just having them relax and enjoy themselves, you know?
And so what do you notice? 'Cause I got to do I just be around you. I just be out playing with you, right? So when we went and did when I helped you with the bridal show, it was very interesting to see everyone's response, not just like the women, but also like their partners and their response to being able to come and talk to you and see your table. So there were some that were a little bit timid. There were some that were like watching as they walked by really, really slow. There were some who were excited. There were some who had done it before. And so when you think about the range of personalities and like confidence of the people that come to you, how is that experience for you?
It's a wide range, honestly. It's a wide range. And so I've had people who are very comfortable in their own skin, and they're like, oh yeah, I've always wanted to do this. It's something I'm interested in, like, this now's the time. And I'm like, okay, that sounds great, you know? And then I do definitely have a lot of people who are a little iffy about it at first. Like, they've seen it and they think it'll be fun. So we kind of just chat through like what they're looking for, what they're trying to get out of the experience, why they're doing it, who is it for, you know? And also I like to figure out like what are their insecurities that they have about the process. And I usually address those as well too, which I just think like, okay, let's talk about it. What are you thinking? Like, what's going on? But I have had some who were like, we had to push it back a couple of times, which is very rare that we do, because they were feeling very uncomfortable. So they were gonna do the shoot, and I think she was kind of, it was like that during around the holidays when we were originally gonna do it, and she had gained like a significant amount of weight, and she was just feeling bad about herself. And I was like, you know what? This is an experience that I want you to enjoy, to really have fun with and feel good about doing. So we can push it back to whenever you want, so that like you need to be happy with how you are now, and then we can do the shoot to celebrate that. But I never want to get into a point where I'm like pushing somebody who's really, really uncomfortable, or something changes in their life and they're like, yeah, now's not a good time. I'm like, I respect that. We can do it later. So I definitely get a range of emotions, from like confident to like iffy but interested in it and excited. And then people are like, it's brand new to them, but they're like, you know what? I'm just gonna go for it. We're gonna see how it is, you know? But everybody's had a great experience and great time actually doing it in the end, which is fantastic.
So what are the some of the things you have to talk through with them, like some of the things that would make them a little bit leery?
So some it's all because women in general, we have been still, unfortunately, we're like, okay, we need to be a certain look, certain size, you know. And as we get older, because most of my clients are over the age of 30, usually over 35 and much older. Things are a little, you know, we have a little bit more cellulite. Our thighs are usually a little bit bigger, you know. Our butts might have some dimples in them, you know, like we have a little bit more in the midsection than we used to when we were like 20, right? So it's usually all these changes, and they're like, oh, I've never posed before. Like, oh, can you touch up this? Can you touch up this? And I always tell people that I do not do extreme body modifications. So I will pose you in the right way that accentuates your features and what you want to focus on. I do ask them if certain features, like what are their features that they most enjoy about themselves, or that their partner most enjoys, if it's a gift for somebody else, and what things they're like not too keen on, right? And I do kind of focus on those and take that input and whatnot. So we talk through that. And we talk through like the best posing. I'm like, I will pose you so you will look fantastic. Don't worry about it, you know? And like just leave it in my hands. You just show up and we'll do whatever works for you and I will make you look fabulous. But it's usually those little insecurities that we have. And I'm like, don't worry about that. It's all good, you know? Like that's not an issue you're gonna have when you have this shoot. So we'll figure it out. And sometimes it's depending on like clothing choice too. If some folks are a little insecure about certain areas, we're like, well, if they want to do lingerie, you know, we can do like a bodysuit kind of thing and make sure like we pose them in the right way so they still feel sexy, but they're kind of hiding the areas that they might be a little bit more insecure about, you know?
And so what have you seen over the years of doing this that this does for a woman's confidence? And also, just like how she gets to explore herself and learn more about herself.
I think it's a lot of I just had one shoot and her daughter actually came to help her get into outfits and help her change. And it was like she was like a teenage going to college, I think maybe. And it was so funny to see like her daughter helping her and daughter like kind of hyping her up and everything. It was for her birthday. She was doing a birthday shoot. So we're trying different outfits that she had never really worn before. We're like, okay, I think you look fabulous in this. Let's try it out. Let's just go see. And so having somebody be the like hype woman and trying different outfits, trying different poses and styles that they hadn't really thought about, and be like, "Oh yeah, you look great," you know, and I'm really hyping them up. And I learned new lingo from the
Always.
daughter. She's like, "Oh, your body's tea in this," and I was like, "Okay, I didn't know what that was, but I'm like, okay." And so she was hyping her mom up, which is really cute. But yeah, they just experience kind of a pampering session for themselves where they can just sit back, relax, get done up, which many women haven't either one ever done, or the last time doing it was like, let's say their wedding, for instance, right? And just feeling good and relaxed and just having a fun session. And like, then seeing their images back, I'm like, oh, I look good. That's me. And I'm like, yes, you know? And then just seeing the smiles on their face and like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is like a great experience. I was so relaxed, you know, and just taking all that pressure off of them so they can actually have fun.
And do you ever get to have conversations with people after about what's changed or what that experience did for them?
Yes, especially for the one thing that I'm doing is the timeless experience right now. And so that's my version of the over 40. And so I usually talk to people and have them do a whole questionnaire about, okay, why are they doing this? What are they trying to get from the experience, right? And really chatting with them about that. And so I have a video on my website for the last one that I did and how it changed people's outlook on themselves, like how they enjoyed the experience, kind of a bit of the confidence that it gave them and why. And so that's been one of the ways that I really kind of bring that to light.
And so when it comes to the pampering, because you said usually this is probably like the first, maybe the second time someone has allow themselves to be pampered. What do you think about that? Why do we not pamper ourselves?
My paper and kind of mean like just getting done up for a photo shoot, right? Because most have never had a professional photo shoot at all. And so my makeup artist comes, gets them all done up and everything, and they're sitting with a glass of champagne. They're like, "Oh, this is lovely." We're just chatting it, just like, shooting the shit, which is great. I think it's one, we don't prioritize ourselves, which is a known issue, right? We're trying to do all the things for everybody all at once, and we're not really taking time for ourselves. And I mean, granted, I have the same issue. And we just don't take time to just like relax. And I think as a society, we're getting better with this a little bit. I think now the current economy and current times, I think maybe we're more stressed out than we were before, but that's a whole nother thing. But I think in general, we know now that we need to actually relax more and take time for ourselves a little bit more. Because when we burn out, like nobody else is really taking up the slack and taking care of us necessarily either, right? So I think we're starting to understand that we need to take better care of ourselves so that like we can live long, happy lives as well and not just be doing for everybody else. But I think in general, women have had a problem with doing that for a long time because we were seen as the people who have to do everything for everybody else, you know?
What do you think is shifting? What's changing that now all of a sudden it's like, I should probably take better care of myself?
I think we're tired. No, seriously, because have you heard of like the We Do Not Care Club? Yeah, I think we're tired. I think like because like I know I've hit this, and like even from my professional career, I was kind of hitting a wall there for a point, and I'm gonna take a break doing everything, especially as a caregiver, because like I have cats, but I don't have kids, but I'm also a caregiver, right? And with all those things and doing everything for everybody, I think we're just burning out. And I think finally we're like, you know what? We're kind of over this. We're gonna take a break. And I think as this gener I can't really say this generation. I think if you're like over like 30, 35 or so, and especially my ladies who are like a lot older, like I'm in my mid-40s now, and I've definitely hit that wall. I think we're just seeing that more and more now that we're kind of burnt out because usually we're also working for the most part. A lot of us, have kids, not everybody, but a lot do. But we're doing everything else, and I think collectively we kind of hit the wall.
So here's my question to you, because you've lumped yourself in there. So now I can ask
Oh,
about
okay, all
your
right.
experience. Why do you feel like you waited until you hit a wall?
Listen, I need to be real with you for a second. You're here listening to this episode. Maybe you're not alone. You're feeling seen. And girl, that's beautiful. But if you're like most of my listeners, you're going to finish this episode. You're gonna feel all inspired for about 10 minutes and then go right back to your regular life where you're still putting everyone first. I get it. I've been there, but here's what I've learned. The gap between knowing what you need to do and actually doing it is where transformation lives. Now, if you're tired of just consuming content about self-care and you're ready to start practicing it, not tomorrow, not next week, but starting today, I created something specifically for you. It's called the 7-Day Self-Care Reset, and it's exactly what it sounds like. 7 days of simple, actionable steps that help you move from thinking about prioritizing yourself to actually doing it. No overwhelm, no complicated systems, just practical tools that work with your real life. You'll get permission to put yourself first, learn to recognize those inherited patterns that keep you stuck, and discover what your authentic desires actually are underneath all the expectations. This isn't about adding more to your plate. I'm not going to do that to you. It's about finally honoring what's already on it, starting with you. Ready to stop listening and start living? Visit javerywellness.com/reset. That's RESET. And let's do this work together. Because the woman who just listens and the woman who actually takes action, they live completely different lives. Now, back to the episode.
I don't think I had any other choice because, we got to work, we got to make money, got to pay rent. I mean, I have a mom who I take care of, and my brother would help too, but he's in another state, and so there's nobody else who can really do that. So it's like, I think it's really just out of necessity, you know?
Well, do you think that this has been your norm, though?
Probably. I mean, I've always worked. I mean, I've basically always worked. I've always made my own money. I mean, because I'm married, but like my husband has his money. I've always been a firm believer. This was the hill I die on, that women all need to have their own money. I think we've talked about this before. Women need to have their own money, okay? So I've always worked. I've always made my own money, always paid like my own bills. And he does his stuff. And we do, obviously we have a house and we pay the bills together and everything. But no, it's like, okay, this is something I've always done, which I mean, I don't know if that's a good thing necessarily, but it's always been my norm.
Where'd
And
you
then
come
also just growing in my career, the professional career as well. And I probably hit a wall faster than I would have because I had some, let's say, bad bosses
from?
in my career that I was like, and so my last job, I basically left without a backup plan because I was in literal burnout and severe burnout mode. Like mentally was not doing well. And even my husband was like, yeah, I think you need to leave. I know you don't have a backup plan, but I think it's time for you to go. I'm like, okay, as long as you know this is what's gonna happen, because I don't have anything else right now. But even he was in agreement, like this was not a healthy place to be, and it was a very toxic environment. And I think that added on to it too. Which I think as Black women, I think we probably hit that more than others, especially if we climb as we climb up the ladder as well.
And I see a lot of people are like, I don't have to climb the ladder. It's absolutely fine if you just leave me where I'm at to do the
And see,
job
now
that
I'm
I
more like
do.
that. See, because I did all that before, and now I'm like, okay, I can have more of a chill job because I'm tired and I don't need to climb the ladder anymore. So now I've kind of gotten to that point, but I think it was so much push, push, push before and hitting the wall. Then I'm like, okay, I can kind of chill for a little bit now.
So, do you feel like the photography and showing up for these women in that way is more of a pleasure project?
I'd say a pleasure project. It's just more fulfilling for me. But
Well,
maybe we're saying the same thing. Yeah,
yeah, like pleasure
it
is like satisfaction and enjoyment,
is.
and you were able to find something that is purely like you were doing it as a hobby. You weren't like looking for all this extra income and this money. I mean, it has generated like great opportunities for you, but it sounds like it was something that was just it's pure pleasure. Like I just enjoy
Just
it.
being creative and being artsy was part of what I just really enjoy in life. And so I'm like, okay, I need to get back to this. I need to be creative. I'm not doing it nearly as much as I want to. Just shooting for shooting's sake, I still don't do as much of that as I want to. Just creating to create, right? Which I think is a very important thing for me to do. And because life, I have not done as much of that, but I do need to get back to that too. And so I think that really does fulfill like part of my like creative side that I need to like tap into and make sure like I don't lose and I continue to hone. So yes, yeah, I would say so.
So I'd like to talk more about creativity because people don't really know that when we talk about rest, there are like seven different kinds of rest, and creative rest is part of it. And so, how
I
do
didn't even
you
know that.
feel?
Okay.
Yeah, so creative rest is in there. I actually think I'm just going to do like a series about the different ways that we can rest. Because when I say rest, people are like,
Like that
but I
idea. I'm
do
like,
go to
okay.
sleep. And I'm like, no, there's so much more to resting than sleep. But there is creative
True.
rest, which is making time for creative endeavors and doing things that are fun and allow you to tap into that creative side. Because everyone has the ability to be creative. It's about what type of creative you want to be. And so now that you've been able to, not as much as you used to, but now that you've been able to tap into that, what does being creative allow for the rest of your life?
Interesting question. I think in some ways it gets my imagination going because I'm like a huge nerd, so like I think that so one of the ways I rest is like I read lots of books. Like I like to read sci-fi fantasy, like I read all the time. So that's one of the ways I rest. I will just chill out, get in the tub, read on my book, and be good. And that is definitely a decompression rest thing for me. And I think as far as photography goes, being creative and tapping into just cool ideas that I have that like I might not even know how to create it, but like thinking it through, thinking like, okay, can I design something like this? Like Can I have this mood that I'm looking forward to create? And like, what does that generate, right? And I think just trying different things like that, like, I want to learn how to sew so I can sew some interesting like outfits or different things, right? And then figure out how to style it. And I have no idea how to sew. I think I used to when I was a kid because my mom knows, but whatever.
And that's what we used to take home ec, because I've picked up sewing again,
Oh, I remember
obviously,
home
so
ec.
that I
I was
don't
talking to
break
somebody
my
else about this.
business. But yeah, we took home ec, and I know that I know how to make a pillow, possibly some shorts or something. But I'm like you. I'm trying to do some off the wall stuff.
Yeah, I used to know how to do that, right? Because I've definitely done home ec like way back in the day, right? I'm like, I remember how to sew, kind of. And I'm like, and there's a place near me that's down the street. I'm like, I gotta take a class there because I can create and do some fun things and like play with the lighting and just like tap into that creative essence of just like creating something or building something that's from my mind that I can actually like visualize and create, which I think is really cool, you know? Haven't been able to do that as much as I would like, but I think that's part of what that's I enjoy just like, doing fun stuff and creating and figuring out things like that.
Do you feel like it allows a balance in all of the things that I don't like to say have to do, but the things that you choose to do to sustain your lifestyle?
I probably haven't reached that balance yet, quite frankly. I probably haven't, just because like I feel like there's so much to do now. And like maybe, and like I said, maybe that's just like where the state that I'm in my life, like everything going on. So I haven't quite got to that balance yet. I think I was there like a while ago, but then I'm kind of in disarray and unbalanced now. But I think if I'm able to get back to that and have time and can actually enjoy it without feeling like I got to do all these other things, I'd probably get back to that balanced state.
So can you speak to the fact that you're in a season? I think sometimes people don't recognize that they're just seasons. There are seasons where things may not go the way that you want to, that you may not be able to do certain things, but it is still possible to live like a pretty decent life, even though things are not like balanced the way you would want them to be,
Oh yeah, I
especially
think we
as
all go, yeah.
caregivers. Like, when you're in that sandwich, some of us, you're caretaking, but some are caretaking kids and caretaking parents and grandparents. And so, how do you see it still maintaining like a sense of self and just still being able to find enjoyment in your life? Because you post pictures about like your cat and your garden and you're sitting outside. So you're still making moments of like pleasure for yourself. And it may not be as much as you want it to be, but you still find the moments to do it.
True. I think I and when you think say it like when you say it like that, I think I really have to, or else I go completely insane. So I think I kind of have to do those, like just taking breaks, right? Because and I do try to do that, even though they're smaller. I do try to do that, like you said, sitting outside or gardening, right? Just taking a moment to just like decompress and rest, or like I said, soaking in the tub. And I think that like. I think I have to find little, even like little things like that, because I know this craziness, these times are not, will not last forever, right? There will definitely be down times, and we definitely have seasons where things are chaotic and crazy, then calm and perfect, and then chaotic and crazy again, right? I think that's just like normal life. So being able to take those moments where you're like, okay, I'm gonna take a break. I'm gonna sit outside. I'm gonna watch the deer run around in the backyard for like 20 minutes and chill, right? I think you kind of have to take those when you can, just to like maintain yourself and you just your identity and some level of calm when you can. And it's kind of hard to do sometimes. Sometimes like go, go, go. But then I think I've been fairly good about, okay, I need to take a break now. I just need to stop for a while and just rest.
I would agree. What do you say to the people that feel guilty for doing that?
Oh.
You're saying it's something that you have to do to maintain your sanity. And then there are some people out there that are like, I'll forego my sanity so that I don't feel guilty.
And that's hard because that's definitely a person, it is kind of a personality thing. And like, because my husband's like that, he'll forego his rest because he thinks he needs to do all this other stuff for other people. And I'm kind of the opposite way, and I'm like, I don't care that much about other people in that regard. But I know that, but he's a people pleaser. So people pleasers, I think, have a much harder problem with that. And I'm not a people pleaser. And So, and I try to get him to take breaks, and it is definitely a personality thing, because I don't understand why he pushes himself so much to not take breaks, and he kind of burns out. But I'm like, but you know, I need to take a break. And I am kind of the opposite of that. So that's a hard one, because it's hard for me. No, it's not like it's hard for me to not understand the guilt, because I understand where the guilt
Like
comes
that is
from. Like,
that I do not have that experience, so I'm not quite sure.
yeah, I'm like, but I don't necessarily have that guilt. Like, if I know I need to stop and do something, I'm like, okay, I need to stop. I can't. Or if I, there's things that people want to hang out and do stuff, I'm like, yeah, I can't do that right now. I need to take a break. I cannot hang out. Because, like, and I'm an introvert too, so I think that helps me understand that. Like, there's only so much I can do before I get burned out. But I think it's really part of it, I think, is realizing that you can't do everything. Like, if you don't take breaks, you will hit a wall. And it could be like a subtle wall, or it can be a really, really hard brick wall that's gonna like throw you back on your butt, right? And I think that if you don't take breaks, you are gonna get to that point at some point. So it's like you gotta figure that out, understand where that is for you. Yeah, but that's definitely a more of a personality thing. Like, it's that's a hard one. That's a hard one to say.
Yeah, one of the things that I always tell like my clients, especially students now that I'm working on, the college campus, and one of the things they always talk about is like the guilt about rest. And I always say, and just feel guilty, right? It's just a
Yeah.
feeling. It's just a
Because you
feeling.
have to take a break, right? I mean, what's the alternative? Either your health fails, right? Which is also not good. Like, there's so many reasons why that stress and like that go is just not good for you in so many ways. Like, guilt is like the least of the problems for the most part, I think, right? Yeah, but that's why you said, like, just feel the guilt. I'm like, yeah, that's probably what they would have to do, right? Because otherwise, I think the alternative is just going to be worse if they keep going, right? And just like, don't stop.
I like the fact that you don't have the people pleasing. I think more often than not, and I know people that aren't because I'm not, right? I'm not a people pleaser. I don't have guilt when I do things for myself. And so I attract those type of people because it's like, oh, well, it's we have those types of conversations. But more often than not, you will run into a people pleaser who is just like, well, how do you do that? And like, you don't feel bad. And what about your husband? Or what about such and such? Like, for me, it's like, what about your kids? And I'm like, what about them?
Exactly.
Like
And I
they
didn't realize my
are.
husband was so much a people pleaser until afterwards. Like, so it's weird that we got together, right? We've been married for a really long time. But I was trying to figure out things before, because he was like stressing out. I'm like, but you keep saying yes to all these things, and you're working on the weekend. I'm like, this is going to lead you to an early
The
grave. I'm
side
like,
eye.
yeah. And I'm like, seriously. So in general, yeah, it is really weird, because I think that like the people who are like, oh, what about this? What about this? I don't think. And usually I think I'm kind of like you. I'm like, if they're like, oh, what about this? What about this? I'm like, man. And like, I'm like, they were fine. That's cool, you know?
Yeah, I think it's understanding that locus of control, though, right? Like, there, when it comes to, I live by my pillars of pleasure, self-care, and rest. And the reality is, when you shift into that, you notice what everyone else gets from you. Like, you get the best versions of me, right? Like, people are like, Tosh, you work a 9 to 5 and you're building a group practice and you're doing this and you're doing that. How do you do all that? I only do the things that I absolutely love doing. I don't do anything that I don't want to do, even if it's something I don't care for. Like, the reality is, I don't want to work. Like, I don't want to work at all. But I recognize I also am a little bougie and I have a lifestyle that I want to live and I like to travel and I like people know I be talking about my 6-piece every Friday. There are things that I like and I want. And so I look at it as this is how I invest in myself. Now, when I did choose to go back to work, I was very particular, right? I became work optional. I'm going to choose where it is that I want to go. But everything that I do, everybody that is in my life, I strategically allowed them to be there, which allows me to have more in my cup to do all the things that I do.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because, like you, if there was a choice, I would not work, right? I would do the photography because that's fun. Like you said, that's a fulfilling thing, right? But otherwise, I would not work. And I am also probably going to go back to doing like a full-time job as well because, like, yeah, I like my money. I like to travel. I like to buy things, you know. Luckily, I just pay off my car. That was just lovely. But, you know, I like to do things and have the funds to like support the life that I live. So probably we'll be going back to a full-time job. But I'll be very particular about that too, right? There's certain things that I really don't want to do, and I have no interest in going back to those things. So it's like, okay, I'm making that shift to do things that are more within my wheelhouse that I actually enjoy, that can support like the life that I like to live too, you know? So I completely understand that. And I definitely had to let go of friendships and people that were not serving, you know, that were like more draining. And so, and I don't really feel guilty about that because certain things you just like, you just gotta let go of to make sure that you're feeling whole and that you're kind of living the life that you want to leave as well, lead as well.
Do you think this is just part of the process of like growing as a human being?
Maybe growing as a human being in this time because, like, when I look at my mom, I think she still has guilt about things, right? And
My
maybe
mom
she, I
does
mean,
too.
she might be a people pleaser too, right? But I look at other people in different time periods, and I don't, even though they've gotten older and grown, I don't think it's necessarily in the same way. I think there's been that shift where, like, you know, like we're working, we're building careers, money, entrepreneurs, right? And so we're doing all these other things too. And I think we're doing all that and continuing to grow. And I see that as we're going a little differently maybe than other folks did, I think. When I look at my mother and my grandmother and like especially the older generation, they still kind of have some of that same mindset, I think, too. Which is different. So I'll be curious to see, like, let's say folks, women who are in like, teens now, like how they grow and how it changes for them as they get older in their 30s and 40s. And I wonder if it'll be different or if it'll be similar, you know?
I think the younger ones are a lot more about their well-being. They're a
That's
lot more
good.
about, taking care of themselves. You hear that the alcohol drinking has decreased, and like now there's these mocktail bars and like the Pilates bars, and they're just like really into their wealth. And I think it could have something to do with social media and being
Interesting.
aesthetically pleasing. But either way, they're doing what they need to do. And so I do think that we've slightly helped pave the way for, just
But we're
like a
still in
more,
that cusp. But I think
we
we're still
are.
in that kind of, we're still straddling those two, Ren, right? We're still straddling that older generation and then maybe this younger generation. And I think we've been, like you said, we're kind of like paved the way a little bit, but then we've kind of gone through our own little struggles and everything, like getting from like a certain time period over the last, let's say, decade or so. So yeah, we're probably in the middle of that change.
I've always been called selfish, so I don't know if I've ever had these problems. Because if you ask my mom and my daddy, they have been calling me selfish my entire life, and I had to do a
Really?
lot of work to unlearn that, to unlearn selfish being a bad thing, because it's really
So
not
you're
a bad.
always focused on, okay, but you were always focused on like making sure that you were well-being. And see, I don't consider that selfish. Like, I just think, you know, I think that's like you're taking care of yourself. I'm like, I think that's needed, right?
Right. Do you feel that working for yourself kind of catapulted some of these things, like this being able to like not have guilt and focus on yourself? Because I've found that there's just a different set of skills in the last 5 years that I have had to acquire in order to go out in this world and decide to work for myself. And so it has required a different type of grit to go out here and build something like you're talking about going out to the photography and like creative from your brain, to go out here and pull a thought from my brain and build it from the ground up with absolutely no manual. Like there is nothing. Do you feel like that also transforms how we show up?
I think in my case, it might be some of that. And I always was like, But I was always like trying to start random things here and there and random businesses and had all these random ideas like, oh, I want to do this or launch this and let me try this and like side things, whatever. So I always kind of had that entrepreneurial side. But I also think in my career, like I learned as I kind of went up the stages, like to say no and to push back and be like, yeah, we're not doing that kind of thing. So I think that also helped with that because like I cannot say yes to everything, like hiring people, forming a team, and being able to push back on things like that. I'm like, so I think that also helped to shape me as well.
Yeah, I think we just, we just out here living life. I think that's what it is. You just have to live life. It is, I think, with what you do with these boudoir shoots, it's not that far off from what I do as a therapist, right?
Oh
It's
no, you're
all
helping women like and just
right.
people just like see themselves like and just and be comfortable within themselves, right? You know, and get in touch with their own bodies basically, just in different ways, right?
Right. And you do a very good job at, with the staging. We talked about the environment and you posing them of seeing something in them that they don't necessarily see in themselves, and then being not only able to articulate it verbally of how beautiful they are and, what they're deserving of, but you also have the ability to put it in a picture. That's wild, Laquelle. That's crazy.
But I think
Like,
that's
that's
so
a
much fun,
skill.
right? That's the fun part, like telling them, because like telling people one thing is one thing, right? But then being able to show them, like, see, this is how I see you, and this is how you can see yourself, right? And this is how amazing you are, right? And like, and that is one of the huge benefits. It's just so much fun having them like witness that and being like, oh yeah, like this is amazing, right?
I had a client once that I was coaching, and that was one of the things that I had her do is to go do a boudoir shoot. And she came and she's always so timid and everything like that. And she was really nervous. And she came back after the session and she had gotten her pictures back and she said, "Oh my gosh." She said, "I like her. Like, I like her and who I got to be when I was in that studio. And I want to figure out how to be her all the time." And I
That's
was
cool.
like, "But that
Like yeah, like what was the difference, right? So that's
you."
interesting. And she was almost like it was like a whole different person there, but just like no, that is you. But I'm glad she experienced that and she was able to be like, okay, this tapped into a whole another self that I have, right? That I want to explore and kind of bring out a little bit more, which is
And
cool.
so that's kind of what we worked on her understanding that they're not two different people. Like, you were the one that walked in there. It's just a little razzle dazzle added to you, but that's
Yeah,
like
basically.
actually you. And I think you get to be able to show them that that exists. Like, if they never stepped foot in your studio and got to play dress up and all the things, they would never get to see that, like, that actually exists. It's always been there. It's
Yes,
not
that's
something
true.
that you just
It
walked and
is them.
said.
It's not, yeah, exactly. It's not another person. It's not another personality. It is them. And they just never got to experience that, you know, which is true. Which is true.
So, for someone that might be listening, that's like, huh, it's a possibility that I might want to try this, but I don't know because I don't know how I feel about myself and I've never done it before. What would you say to the listener that's on the fence?
Just to try it, to like chat, we can have a conversation, or you know, or if you find a different photographer, just have a conversation with the photographer. Because the one thing is, you do have to be comfortable with your photographer, and so, and you want to find somebody who has ideally been doing this a while, knows how to work with like women of different sizes, shapes, you know, body types, you know, things like that. So if that's important with you, you definitely need to find the photographer who's a good match. Because there are some who work with a very particular type of person, and if you don't necessarily fit that, that might not be the best experience for you, right? So definitely they need to be talk with the photographer, look at their portfolio, see if they like their style, the things that they're looking for, and then have a conversation and see like you know how you vibe with that person. But if you're on the fence, I say definitely try. Just give it a shot. Talk to different people, see their styles, and then like try it out for yourself. There's nothing to lose, really. There's really nothing to lose. Once you find like a legit photographer who really does know what they're doing, then you're bound to have fun. You're bound to have fun.
And that's a wrap on today's episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. If this conversation sparked something in you and you're ready to take action, don't let that inspiration fade by Monday morning. Visit www.jrootwellness.com/reset and start your free 7-day self-care reset today. Because the woman who just listens and the woman who actually takes action, they live completely different lives. Talk to you next week. Bye.